feeling so awkward starting. All right, everybody, welcome back to Broken to Barbell. This is Tanner, as always.
This is Carly.
And this week, we are at the Pittsburgh Fitness Project, and I will let you guys introduce yourselves.
I'm Tom Dewar.
I'm Maggie Dewar.
Hi, guys. Thank you for coming on. Normally, we kind of do a little recap, but I mean, simply put, not a lot has happened in the past month. Sam still taking care of Cannon. I'm still half-assed going to the gym. And Carly's
still training.
Yeah.
Powerlifting for my next meet in July.
Yeah. So we're going to jump right in and start talking to you guys about you. Everything about you.
Yeah,
I
so
love talking about me. So
he does love talking about himself.
Just give us a background on how you got to where you're at and how Pittsburgh Fitness Project was formed.
That's a long answer. So you want me to start with the business or like personally or how I got it?
Like where are you from?
Yeah, give us your background.
So I'm from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. My family are all Pittsburghers, and they moved to central Pennsylvania in the 70s, and I was born and raised out that way. And then I went to school at Westchester University outside of Philadelphia, and then I wanted to get away from Philadelphia as fast as possible, so Pittsburgh seemed like a natural place to come to.
So, like, Westchester, like Bam Margera territory?
Yeah, so I worked at Kildare's, which is where a bar that was, like, featured in, like, Viva La Bam a lot, and so we saw those guys a decent amount of time.
What was the guy with the weird crossed eye? What was his name? Don Vito?
Yes. Don Vito.
I think by the time that I was there, Don was like not allowed around people anymore. So he was like banned from humanity. So I didn't see him. I saw him, Bam, and Ryan Dunn, and a couple of those other guys.
Yeah.
Out
and about.
Yeah.
Maggie, where are you from?
I am originally from Butler, Pennsylvania.
Ooh, okay.
Try not to say
Golden
too loud.
Golden Tornadoes.
So I came to Pittsburgh to go to PA school at Duquesne.
Okay.
And then got a job and stayed here.
Cool.
So.
I mean, that's basically what happened to me, minus Duquesne.
Yeah.
came here and stayed here.
And so, fun fact, Tanner and I grew up in the middle of nowhere, and Butler was, like, the closest mall.
Yeah.
And it was, like, 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
So we did all our shopping in Butler.
One time, so I took Corey back home.
Mall.
Yeah. I took Corey home, and he's like, well, where's the nearest, like, McDonald's? I was like, it's half an hour or 45 minutes. Like, there's no.
Oh, there's not even a stoplight in our entire school district.
He asked where the nearest Dunkin' Donuts was. That's what it was.
Oh my
I was
God.
Like,
I don't even
I
know.
Think Butler.
Yeah. We're familiar with Butler.
Yeah. So when did you start lifting? Like, what was? Can you think of a start? It's like,
oh, absolutely. This is gonna make me sound very, very old, but I started lifting in 1999. I think it was like in seventh grade. We had like an activity period.
Oh.
And there was an old Universal gym. Now, most people don't know what that is, but it's the pin selectorized gym equipment, but it was all like a square where there was like five or six stations and you walked around. And it was like in a closet in our middle school. And our head football coach for the high school was one of our science teachers, and he had like a weight training activity period that you could learn to get on this Universal gym thing. So thought that was pretty cool, so I signed up for that, and I got started in a little tiny probably a room as big as this. It's about 8x8.
Yeah,
it fit about 10 kids in there, and an activity period was rotate through and use the machines and learn a little bit about weightlifting. And
so that's kind of what got you started, was in there like, hey, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, growing up in the 90s, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sly and Jean-Claude Van Damme were all these big jacked buff dudes, and all the cartoons like He-Man. So I think like getting in, like wanting to be buff and big and strong, I think was always like something I wanted to do, but it was the first time I had access to anything close to how to get there.
Yeah.
So like, were you big as a kid?
I was like a little butterball as a kid.
Aww.
A little chunker.
Same.
I went from being about 4'10", 140 pounds to 5'10", 140 pounds in about a summer. So things changed pretty quickly for me, but for most of my like childhood, I was pretty chunky. I like to eat. That's why I'm a super heavyweight now.
Oh yeah,
same. Growing back represent. Into it.
Yeah, that's growing up. I remember it was really big when I kind of started working out here in Pittsburgh, and got below what I was my senior year of high school. So it was just like, wow, it, like that was my goal the whole time. And then I hit it and I was like, oh, oh now what? You know? Okay. Like it just, it was a weird kind of perspective thing to, right. You know, former fat kid syndrome is what yeah. I call it. Yeah.
So you said you did college athletics, but what sport did you do?
Yeah, so I was originally recruited to play two sports in college. I was a pretty average football player and a pretty good discus thrower. So I wanted to do both in school. Didn't really like class too much. I had good grades, but I didn't like class wasn't my favorite. So like the staying active helped get me through the academics and like really mm-hmm. made me go to class, which was a good thing because I ended up enjoying it and learning a lot. But so I threw discus and shot put during the 55 meter my freshman year of college, and I played football. I actually got recruited to play safety at Mansfield University and run track there. But after about one season of doing double duty, I stopped the track and field. And
all football?
All football, yep.
Nice. Where? What was your major?
I was originally a biology major, and then I, which is a whole other story, but I was going to be a teacher, and then after I got a really bad injury my freshman year of college and had a little bit too much fun and went saw some flashing lights a couple too many times. So teaching was not in my cards anymore. So after I wasn't able to be a teacher anymore, I changed my major to nutrition.
Nice.
Cool.
So I like to break beer bottles over my head, and that's frowned upon, I guess, in the state of Pennsylvania.
It's frowned upon in the state of Pennsylvania. Air quotes. And so that kind of brings us up to now a little bit. So where did that lead you to after you came to Pittsburgh? Did you do shows? Did you kind of like, what did you do?
Well, then we have to go even farther back.
Okay, so keep going.
I had a pretty interesting post-collegiate experience. So I transferred to Westchester my junior year, played my last 2 years there, and then afterwards I had helped a couple friends get ready for a bikini show, actually, because I really liked working out. I really thought programming was really interesting. They're, ironically, kinesiology majors at the time, but I helped them make the workouts for their show that they were getting ready for, and I went to watch, and I was a pretty big muscular guy back then too, so uh-huh. I said I could probably be a bodybuilder. I think this would be a fun thing after football's over. Then going into my senior year, I had an abrupt end to my football career, and I needed something else to get into. I did my first bodybuilding show in 2008 or 9, I forget exactly, and then I was discovered by an agent in New York and shot for Muscle Mag. And a couple other magazines.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, do
he
you
was
have
real pretty?
Yeah, the magazine actually they're on the shelf out there, and there's like a poster with all of my tear sheets.
Cool.
So we like got my mom made put them all like scanned them all in, and we made like a collage out of them, and I have like a framed for most of them. I think I was like one or two that I didn't get that were like afterwards because I actually shot for Muscle Mag one more time in Pittsburgh. Uh-huh. Another story. I have an interesting fitness experience, but so. After I did my first show, got signed with the agent, I got sent down to do the Mr. Universe contest in Miami that year, and fully wow. sponsored. It was pretty neat. It was like 6 weeks into ever going on a bodybuilding show. I'd never even seen a bodybuilding show before this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on a track, kind of a really, really fast, high ascending path in bodybuilding. Went into the Mr. Universe. I ended up getting second place in my class. I was a junior at the time. I was 23. So I got second in the junior class by like 0.25 points. So I was running up to Mr. Universe in 2009. Then I shot with that's when Muscle Mag found me in a lineup, shot for them. Actually talking to them, they asked me, like, I just graduated, and I was talking to the editor, and he was like, what do you want to do? I was like, well, this seems pretty cool. I want to do this. And
yeah.
He's like, well, good luck, because we're not going to pay you very much. So he's like, you need to get a job. And so he kind of set me, luckily, this guy set me straight. And I need to find a real job. So, unfortunately, it was 2009, the height of the recession.
Yeah.
So, couldn't find a job for throughout the summer. Applied everywhere I could think of. You know, couldn't get a call back, email back, anything. So I got an opportunity to live in New York City, or outside of New York City, Rahway, New Jersey, in a Zoolander house, like Zoolander, like in a house with like a bunch of models and like bunk beds and the whole shebang. So I spent like a 3-4 month period.
I'm a just, male model.
Exactly. It was going on castings, catering, just working out, that's not wearing shirts cool. very often. But then, you know, it got old pretty quickly.
when you can only turn
now I'm laughing at Zoolander quotes.
Yeah.
I'm like picturing a real world house.
It was, yeah, yeah.
It was pretty similar. It, yeah. It was an interesting mix of people. And we also had guests and people coming in for like a weekend to do it, go do different castings and things. But again, it became pretty evident that like I wanted a real job. I want to use my brain a little bit. And there's more to life than being really, really ridiculously good looking. So that's how I got to Pittsburgh. I got, you know, one day I just was fed up and
I'm going to go where people aren't pretty.
The French fry capital of America. But I started looking for jobs, and because I have family out here, it was a pretty easy, like, it was my first, like, choice. It was a little bit quieter than New York or Philadelphia.
Yeah, to say the least. Yeah.
So I got my first job in fitness in, like, 2010, after G&G Fitness, actually. I just sold treadmills and Okay. Ellipticals and things like that. So it was a nice transition. I like to talk, and I like fitness stuff, so it made sense that
Selling
the equipment would be a good good segue in. Did that for a while. At an expo, I met another fitness model, and he was talking about training, and he trained Mark Cuban or something, and he was talking about how he got free tickets to stuff all the time, and I was like, that sounds cool. Why am I not doing this?
Yeah.
You know, and so I thought about training for a long time, but I didn't want to, like, mix my, like, work and, like, stuff I do for fun initially, and I was, like, I was pretty against it, because, like, I really enjoy the gym, so I was like, if I work in the gym, maybe I won't like it anymore as much, and then what do I do?
Yeah.
But eventually I made the switch to training, and I did some strength coaching and training for a couple of different places. Then I settled in my permanent full-time training job over at Urban Active over in Bickery Square.
Oh, okay.
Which if you talk to about any gym owner in the east side of Pittsburgh, they probably worked there at some point.
Okay. Is it still over there?
It's LA Fitness now.
Oh, okay.
We were bought as a company by LA Fitness in 2012 or 11 or 12.
They send me texts all the time. But there once.
It was a great like way to learn. You know, I trained like 30, 40 hours a week every week there. It was super busy. We had an awesome group of people there to learn from. Like I said, if you looked at the resumes of all the guys and men and women that left that building, it'd be pretty incredible. There's a lot of gyms in the area and outside of the Pittsburgh area. There's like physical therapists, chiropractors, gym owners, trainers. Coaches, I mean, like all over the United States that came out of that organization.
And that went through the doors there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a breeding ground of just like really passionate, talented fitness people. So that's kind of where I cut my teeth in the fitness industry. Learned how to sell, learned how to train people, learned the ins and outs of the business. And then about a couple years after we were bought out by LA Fitness, it was time for me to go and start my own thing. So I still opened TD Fitness, which is Tom Dewar Fitness, small, like private studio. In, I don't even know, 4 years ago, maybe, or whenever we met.
Something it was, like that, 4 years ago.
Like when Maggie and I met. She's like, what do you do? I was like, well, that's an interesting question. I work here, 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 and here. I was CrossFit. I was coaching CrossFit. I was running my own business. I was working at LA Fitness still. I was doing all sorts of things. Like I had 14 different places I was training out of when we first met. So when we met, I kind of started to consolidate all those jobs and all those coaching positions.
Because it started to kind of gel and come together. So where did you two meet? Here in Pittsburgh?
Well, we originally met at a CrossFit competition at Raw, Fall Brawl. I literally just went to window shop because I was single. And, I mean, there's going to be, like, really in-shape dudes there. So I was like, I'm going to go. Or I'm just going to watch.
Window shop. I love it.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm not ashamed. So I saw Tom there, and he's wearing this, like, jacked and tan tank top. Kind of aggressive, light gray man priest.
Super aggressive.
Super aggressive. Like, there was a lot going on. And then, like, eating, you know, chicken breast and broccoli like out of a Tupperware. And so I was like, oh my God.
One
like,
of those.
Very, yeah,
very like one casually.
Of, yeah, zoned just in. Like zoned in, you know?
Like no body fat, like cool,
no, yeah.
Cool guy haircut when I had hair.
Like, yeah, just, like, he did have hair.
The part in it and stuff. Yeah. I was like, well,
he looked pretty sweet. I was like, this guy, like, this guy, he's pretty nice looking. I was like, but there is, he's definitely stupid. He's definitely rude. Like, you can't be nice and have that many muscles. Like, no. I was like, I'm still going to try to talk to him, though.
I mean, you know.
I know.
We can at least test the waters.
But he was, like, super focused, so just kind of blew me off, you know? I was like, rude. I was like, I didn't really expect anything more than that, but, like, whatever.
He's like, hi, I'm Maggie. I'm like, oh, hey. Walked
away. All right.
That was the first time we met.
Rude. Yeah.
I didn't even acknowledge her existence.
I'm like, all right, whatever. But
it was cold and rainy. I just wanted to go home.
It was gross. I could leave. You couldn't. But a couple days or weeks later or something, we matched on Tinder.
Yes.
And I know.
I was like, now.
Oh, I was like, that's that guy again. I was like, he probably won't remember me.
I didn't remember her.
I was like, he was pretty. Like, he's still not, I don't have any expectations of this guy, but he was pretty. So I was like, I'm going to swipe right on that. Like, he's trying to get some, you
worst
know,
case scenario, free it's dinner never out of a match. It. Yeah.
Right. And then, so we matched and started talking, and then...
We both had no expectations.
No.
Like, all of her pictures were like, she had two gym pictures. So I was like, oh, she's active. Like, we have something in common. Every other picture is like sundresses with
which
a puppy.
Which I never wear. So I just had
never
find,
seen her in a dress other than her wedding.
Pictures of me.
Yeah.
In a sundress and a puppy.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was like graduation. Like, I had to look like nice for my Tinder
and
profile.
And I was like, ew, I'm not going to like that. She looks like way too fancy for me.
Aww.
But she works out. And then I met her and she was not fancy at all.
Thanks.
A little frumple still skin.
Hey. Yeah. You know.
So was that right around when you guys trained down in Arsenal? Is that around the same time?
That was probably about a year before that.
Okay. Because I remember whenever I went there, that's whenever I met you guys.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely met Maggie, but Jenny said you don't remember meeting me, Tom, so that's nice
to
officially meet you.
I'm always pretty zoned in.
It's nice to meet you today.
Was he eating broccoli and rice?
Yeah, that's why I didn't remember
me either.
He was
over there on that platform just throwing weight around.
I just see you like, hey, like across the gym.
Yeah, so.
Good and bad parts about being super focused on my training.
Well, hopefully you remember me after this podcast. Right. But no, they would have their dogs in there, and that was the best part. She has a golden doodle, I think, right?
Yeah.
And then do you have a pit bull?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I remember your dogs too. So
pretty good dogs.
But that's back when I met you guys. So how long were you in that? Is that where did Pittsburgh Fitness Project start?
So I had my original training space over near Children's Hospital. I shared it with another trainer. So that's where we started. We started about a year before that. We were we just had an idea that we wanted. One, I was training by myself, and I missed being around people, and I wanted to mentor some trainers and mm-hmm. develop people, and that was really important to me. So probably, 6 or 8 months after I started my business, I wanted to do something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So originally, our home base was over on over near Children's Hospital, and we brought a couple trainers and instructors on board there. We actually were in another CrossFit gym, kind of doing the same thing with sharing space. You know, we realized that, you know, CrossFit's only in classes, you know, 4 or 5 times a day. Mm-hmm. There's all this free time, gym time, open floor gym time that no one's ever using these places.
Uh-huh.
So our initial idea was to license out their gym floors in the off times to have classes. They're not using it. It's easy money for the gym. And so we thought it would be a pretty good agreement for both parties involved. It didn't end up working in either place, but it was a good idea. A lot of things are good ideas on paper. So that's how we got our start. And then after moving over there, after about a year, we realized that it just wasn't, you know, working out the way we thought it would, and that we needed our own space. So that's how we ended up over here.
Yeah.
So what day did you, like, open the doors over here? How long have you been open at this location?
15 months?
I think it was, like, officially in, like, February of 2017.
January 20th.
Was it January 20th?
Burned in my brain.
Yeah, that's a good day.
Took a while to get the inspection.
Yeah, I mean, we had this place built, and we sat on it for, like, 90 days because the cities wouldn't come in and give us the stamp.
Are they busy? I mean, is that why they're...
Part of it,
big schedule.
I think that they had lost a couple of their architects, so they had to, like, look over the plans and all those different things. And I think they were, like, in a hiring need, and they couldn't find anybody. So they're just really behind on, like, looking at plans and things like that. So when they came in, they did everything fast, and they're really friendly, but it just took longer than we hoped.
The waiting time, it probably took the longest, yeah.
Yeah, so we were probably completely ready to open in December, and we didn't get in until January 20th.
Well, you got to think, too. I'm just curious. I'm thinking about... the fact that you know, those ideas that didn't work out are kind of the stepping stones that built up to this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't work out, but they were important milestones.
Exactly.
Kind of. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And with exposure, too. I mean, I knew who you guys were simply because I went to that CrossFit gym and saw you guys lifting right. there. Yeah. So, which ties into, like, Dion and all those people, you know yeah. what right. I mean? Like,
Dion actually got me into CrossFit, ironically enough.
Dion's the man. Shout out.
He like,
Dion like, and Megan are both awesome.
Pre-Maggie, I dated a girl who went to high school with Megan.
Oh, really?
And I met them out, like, for dinner one time. We were like, on a double
date. What
are
you date. Talking about? You never dated
anybody Never, ever me. Dated anyone before my wife.
I'm the same way.
But
don't talk about them.
Yeah, met Dion like years prior, and he was talking about CrossFit, and I was like a gym bro, and I was like, well, I was curious. I was a little bit bored with what I was doing, mm-hmm. and he was like talking to me about it, and not like he was trying to sell me on it, but like Dion is Dion. He's pretty charismatic. I was like, well, yeah. if this guy likes it, it's got to be pretty sweet because this guy's cool. And so he kind of got like helped plant that seed of like, maybe you should try it. You might like really like it. And so like, long, I can't even tell you. I don't know how many years ago, but a long time ago, I did meeting him for the first time when they, I think they just had first moved back.
Yeah.
He had kind of helped plant that seed of like, you should try this. You might actually have a good time.
I've been telling Tanner and Sam, like, Dion is one of the coolest dudes I've ever met in my entire life. Like, there's like no one like him. I it might be his accent. I don't know. He's like this big teddy bear, but.
NZ yeah. from New Zealand.
Yeah.
He's from
yeah.
NZ.
He's very cool.
I was listening, probably one of my favorite podcasts of his is when they start talking about Subarus. And only lesbians drive Subarus. I was like, okay, I think I can get on Dion's page. He sounds like a funny guy.
So, back up a little bit. How did you come up with the name Pittsburgh Fitness Project? To just come to you.
So we were like talking about gym names and things that we were doing, and my business partner is a physician, and we couldn't figure out a name at all. It didn't just come to us, and then it was just this like massive project that we took on to build, and something that we really wanted to build, and it just kind of made sense. It's like exactly what it was.
It was yeah,
a,
I mean,
you know, a doctor and a trainer that wanted to make create a wellness center, and it was again this. We had no idea what we were doing to start out. We built it from the ground up. Probably could have used a little bit more mentorship in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, that's how the name started. I mean, we call it PFP most of the time because it's a little bit of a confusing name to some people. Like, what is this? What does this mean?
Yeah.
It's cool, though. It rolls off the tongue. Like, I know we feel you on the coming up with the name thing. I think there was probably, a two-week period where we threw out, like, a million different names.
Untitled like, podcast.
Yeah. Like, then, like, everything we were coming up with, like, I'm trying to think back, like.
I can't remember any of them. We'd have to look at old emails or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and then one day it was just like, all right, broken to barbell, like, it works. It was broken to barbells, and then we're like, let's drop the S. And we're like, okay, we're sticking with it. But, like, B2B, like, PFP, it just works.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's cool. Can you give a little background on, like, what you offer here? Like group classes. I saw you posted about the new mom class, which is awesome.
So we started out specializing in just personal training. So that's still our bread and butter, what we do. I always say we are like your mom's gym. but when we thought about like after we were out for about a year, thought about like what our like main demographic is and what like we do better than anyone else. And if my mom would move to Pittsburgh and want to find a trainer, I'd recommend that she would come here.
Yeah,
because she would feel comfortable and safe, and she'd have a really good trainer, and like there wouldn't be. And there's nothing wrong with this. I'm going to preface that right now. But there's not a bunch of 20-somethings running around in, like sports bras and Lululemon.
Yeah.
It's just it's not a social club so much as it is a place to get fit and feel good and feel good, comfortable, and get really good workouts in. Mm-hmm. So that's our training. Then we have mostly boot camp style classes. We have. PFP Strong, which is like a more strength-based class. We have a PFP Power Hour, which is like our just traditional boot camp. We have a Zumba Strong, I think. It's like a mm-hmm. trademark name, so that's why it's the same Strong and Strong. It is actually a pretty cool class. It is a like kickboxing style, like calisthenic workout to a beat. So it's not dancing, but it's all timed to like the song. So it's actually going to start it probably in 15 minutes. So I have to make sure they don't turn it up too loud. And then we have a yoga class on Saturdays. We have Pilates. And then we do have the new mom fitness program starting. One of our trainers had a baby last fall. And so she is starting a new mom program, so you can bring your baby in.
Was she the one that was out there teaching before? Yeah. It was like, we came in, there's like a baby in a blanket in the middle of the workout circle. Yeah. I was like,
most chill baby ever.
This place seems kind of cool.
She coached until she was like 8 months pregnant, so the Ryan's like super chill and like banging weights, nothing like bothers her at all.
That's funny.
That's really great, though, that you have, that you're starting that where they can bring their babies in with them, because I think that's a lot of, and that's a big issue with new moms, like they're afraid to take their kid to the gym, and like, yeah, some gyms have daycares, but like, are you safe, or you do feel safe leaving your kid with them while you go lift? So I think that's very cool, and it would probably be really attractive to new moms in Pittsburgh.
And we closed the whole gym down for it, so like we actually convert the room that we're in right now into like a changing room. Like there's no open gym available, there's nothing, it's like quieter, the music's down, lights are down a little bit, so that they're able to kind of have a private time with their baby, you know, if they want to check on them or do whatever. But it's
very cool. So do you, tell me a little bit about how a membership works. So is it like monthly? Do you buy a class package? How does that work?
So we have a tiered membership. We have an open gym membership for $50. We have open gym times you can sign into. It's generally from open to close. Again, certain times like yoga and the mom class, like it's closed to open gym. But most of the most of our listed hours are open gym. Then we have the barbell club at $75 a month, and that includes open gym as well. And that is our USAW East Coast Gold affiliated barbell club. You have unlimited coaching hours, whatever we have been posted. So we coach three times a day, 5:30 to 7, like 10:30 to 12, and then 6 to 7:30 at night. So you can come in, learn, and we'll talk about Olympic weightlifting a little bit more, I'm sure, later in this podcast. But
we got a whole section.
But so that is when we have team practice, and we're, you know, weightlifting is a relatively, it's a growing sport in the United States. Pittsburgh is not growing as fast, and we're trying to be, you know, part of that movement to get the sport of weightlifting built up in the city here. So that's a really big part of what we're, like, what we're excited about. And then for the $100 a month, we have unlimited class pass, and that includes the all of our classes, our boot camps, yoga, Pilates, new mom, our wellness seminars, things like that. And then also the barbell club and also the open gym. So you can't break them up. It's not like $25 each if you do it.
Yeah.
But it's just tiered. So you can, it just, can you, it includes more and more as you go up that thing.
Work up.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And we have punch cards and stuff too. And you can drop in. And we have like a remote, again, we'll talk about the barbell club a little bit more later here, but we have like a remote athlete program as well. But.
And what's a day pass cost? Do you do day passes?
We do. It's $20 to drop
in. $20. Okay. We just want to make sure we get all this. We'll put it in the show notes for you in case any of our listeners want to come check it out.
Yeah, we try to make it so, it's, you know, if you're going to drop in more than three times a month, you might as well get the month.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So let's dive into Olympic weightlifting, because I feel like everyone's confused on the difference between weightlifting, Olympic weightlifting, powerlifting, CrossFit lifts. So
We've covered powerlifting so much too. I mean, especially from my perspective, I don't know the difference off the top of my head. I honestly don't think I really knew anything about Olympic weightlifting before we started like coming this direction. Like we're gonna come here and talk to you. Okay. So I'm definitely interested to know that difference too. I'm sure Carly knows.
Yeah, and I was telling them, I think before we started recording, that a sports editor from back home. So like we said, we're from the middle of nowhere, Venango County. Okay. The Derrick, I don't know if you've heard of the Derrick, up in Oil City in Franklin.
Yeah.
So he kept calling it Olympic weightlifting in our interview, and he asked me what the Olympians were lifting, and I'm like, wait, this is different. Like, powerlifting's different. So I was afraid he was going to print it, and it was going to be like, he was going to call it Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah.
Which, whatever, but it's not the same. So.
Well, then some people, you say Olympic weightlifting, and they're like, you've been to the Olympics? Like, yeah. No. It's Olympic style.
Technically, legally, it should be like in print and everything called Olympic style weightlifting, unless you're actually in the Olympics, because the Olympics is a trademark. Just, so if we ever correct you, that's what we're
Olympic
doing.
Olympic style weightlifting.
Olympic style weightlifting, or weightlifting as a sport, because the Olympics actually have a trademark on it. So they technically could come after anyone if you call it, because you're, again, people assume I do Olympic weightlifting, you're an Olympian, and that's not quite the case for the most part.
But you're close, right? Because you
close.
You competed at the Arnold, which is like the top. The elite.
There was an Olympian in my session, so that was kind of cool.
That's pretty cool.
I think he was maybe a bronze medalist, or maybe he was fourth somewhere along those lines, but he's pretty high.
So what are the primary differences? Like powerlifting, we literally have the three main big lifts and that's it. We don't do anything outside of those. So
your three big main lifts.
Huh? Yeah, our three back squat, bench, and deadlift. Sorry. So tell us, like, what lifts are considered to be Olympic lifts, Olympic style lifts?
So I guess, yeah, with powerlifting, it's the bench, deadlift, and squat. With Olympic style weightlifting, it's the clean and jerk and the snatch. So the whole goal is to get the bar from the ground to overhead. If we're getting that overhead in one movement, that's the snatch. If you're getting there in two movements, it's the clean and jerk. So
it's just those two.
Mm-hmm. It's just those two. Yeah.
Yep. Wow. And I mean, you know, when we're training, we add, you know, deadlifts and squats and stuff like that in there to supplement everything. But yeah, it's just the two main lifts. And so it's really, you know, a big emphasis on technique as well as strength. So it's kind of fun, you know, a mental push as well as
it's like a big,
physical push.
Big heavy puzzle. I think
a big heavy puzzle. Yeah. I like that.
Put that in there.
I think we've found that most of our adult members are in IT or something like analytical because it is like, it's kind of like a golf swing. I know people like purists are going to say that I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. But,
don't try to change his mind.
You can't. It's impossible. But it's similar. Like, you can teach, like, I could teach you, we can go out there right now, I could teach you to snatch in 10 minutes. You won't be good at it for 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very similar to a golf. But very similar to golf in that regard is you can, you know, practice your swing all you want. You can practice your lifts all you want, but it just takes time. It's very technical. And the biggest, strongest athletes don't necessarily make the best weightlifters. But usually the best weightlifters end up being the biggest, strongest athletes. But
I was waiting for you to say, like, except me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it takes a combination of being, you know, coordinated, very strong, mobile, patient, persistent. Like, I spent the last 2 years trying to PR my clean and jerk by literally a kilo, so 2 pounds. I put 2 years of hard training into. And it's gone up since then, but it took me 2 years to break past that barrier. I'm just training, and like I said, training hard and eating well and getting good coaching. And so it's a long game. But it is not for someone who wants to just be really good really fast because it's not going to happen.
Well, I give you mad props because, like, snatches scare the fuck out of me. Like, I just don't know what it is. I just feel like no matter how I do it, I'm going to, like, break something. So Tanner, I don't know if you know what they're talking about with these. Maybe we could have a demonstration at the end and film you. But
true, yeah, yeah.
Just so you can highlight what they are. But I give you guys mad props. Like I said, I was talking to my brother about powerlifting, and he's like, I don't know how you can squat. Like, don't you feel like you're gonna like crunch your body in half? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, deadlifts scare me the most. I'm like, deadlifts are the easiest because if you don't get it, you just drop it. It's not right. Like your body's gonna get crunched
underneath
in the
weight. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like with you guys, like you said, I feel like everything has to be lined up and you have to work on everything. Like it can't just be like you're strong. You have to be mobile and all that. So
and you have to be kind of oblivious to the danger in it. So like weightlifting has one of the lowest injury rates of any sport. And you look that up, you can fact check me. It's true. people look at you cross-eyed when you say that, but compared to any other, like, it's super duper low. But it's also really easy to get out of the way of stuff that's trying to kill you if he lands on you. It's very
that's
instinctual.
Like one of the first things we teach our newbies is how to miss a lift because that's almost just as important as being able to make a lift.
Hitting the lift,
you don't want to drop that on your head. You'll see a lot of really funny fail videos on Instagram, which are great, but you don't want them to happen to you.
No, not in your gym.
That was new too, switching from CrossFit to powerlifting, is we are not allowed to drop weights in Sally's gym. It's like you can't. So you have to have a spotter or you're gonna get the lift because you're not allowed to drop it. There's no bailing. So that was new. Yeah.
Right. It's very different culturally for us because we use the bumpers and bumper plates and padded platforms and
In meets, they have them locally, right?
Yeah.
Do them at Pittsburgh Barbell, is that?
Yeah, Pittsburgh Barbell hosts most of them. Hopefully we'll host one this fall. I'm working on some organizational stuff.
Yeah, let us
know.
We'll come check it out. But absolutely. Do you get to pick? Like, can you do one of the lifts? You have to do both.
You have 6 attempts total, 3 and 3.
Okay,
three,
cool.
Start with a snatch, then followed by the clean and jerk.
Cool.
Very similar to kind of somewhat similar to powerlifting, and like you can't go down in weight. So like if you declare your opener, you miss, you're taking it again.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And so that's some added pressure. Like you have to, you know, it is so precision. So you could feel strong that day, but feel a little bit off or feel tired, and you know, or just things aren't working out, and you got to be able to mentally like calm yourself down to pull that technique back in.
Cause that's, oh yeah.
When it gets really difficult is when it starts to feel heavy, mm-hmm. right? You want to pull on it harder, but sometimes you have to just worry about being in the right position and putting it in the right place instead of putting your whole everything into the barbell all at the same time.
That's, I mean, just from, and obviously not in lifting any heavy weights or stuff, but like you said last podcast, Carly, about going up to the bar and you do something to it, and that's like getting your head in the right space, and the bar at your meet didn't quite do it.
Yeah.
So I think that all the time, like serving a volleyball, I have to think about my feet. I can't think about my arms or my hands.
Yeah.
Like I can kind of generally think where I want to aim, but if I'm not thinking about my feet, it's going to like hit the net. It's going to like,
right.
Yeah.
And then I think that too with weights, like 8, 9, 10, it's like, wait, this isn't heavy at all. Like just but I'm counting up to 10. So, 10's really hard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I can imagine the zone and the mental headspace that you have to get into to do things the way you need to do them.
Right. And especially with how much focus it takes. I mean, I'm a weird person in the back of a meet.
He annoys the crap out of everybody else.
Everybody.
He just stresses them all out because he's just so loose. A squirrel in
I'm
the back.
I'm talking and having like making friends and like, bullshitting around and running around. Because, I mean, like, once I put my hands in the chalk bucket and I start walking to the barbell, I focus up. But I will literally be like talking my way to the chalk bucket, like high-fiving people and like looking at the crowd, waving people in the crowd. Like, I'm a weird, like, I have to stay lucid. So, one, the weights are heavy, but I've got to stay so loose and like because it's about being focused and being technically sound. And I only have to be aggressive for like a split second, and then you know I need to be thinking about what I'm supposed to do. So having that good, calm, like zen mental state, which for me means scooping around.
Just annoying everybody else.
I like apologize to people I'm like lifting with. Like, I'm sorry, it's gonna be weird back here.
Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, right?
So in a meet, do you have a time limit from like when they do they? I don't know how it works at all in Olympic meets. Like, do they say like the platform's ready, or they just announce your name and then a clock starts? How does that work?
So usually, the lifter who declared the least amount of weight obviously goes first.
Yeah.
And then they have a minute to complete their lift. If that lifter is following themselves, so if the weight that they declared for their second lift is kind of next in line,
okay.
They'll have 2 minutes to follow themselves.
Oh, wow.
Or with the next person, if it's a different lifter, they'll have a minute to kind of get on the platform, get their lift done. And it's the moment that the bar, like, leaves the ground. So they don't have to finish overhead within that minute, but they have to at least pick the bar up.
Past your shin, I think.
Past your shin.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about how much time you have.
So it could potentially be back-to-back. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So if it's back-to-back, you have a two-minute clock instead of a one-minute clock.
Yeah. But then sometimes people will get
mess with you a little bit.
Yeah, they try to mess with you. So, like, they'll declare another weight and then all of a sudden change it. So then now you have less time.
Like,
and then it's kind of rushed back there. So, like,
in more competitive meets, it gets kind of...
Wow.
Kind of shitty back there.
Or with just other...
So it depends on the coaches, too. Some coaches are at local meets, and I think it's, like, super inappropriate. Like, your first meet ever, like, let's game the clock on you, new person without a coach.
Oh, no.
You know, and it's like, it's not the time. Like, at Nationals, do that. Yeah. That's fine. It's all fair. But, like, at your local mom and pop meet, like, that's a way to get someone to quit.
Yeah.
Right, and that's not appropriate, so...
Yeah.
And how many judges are there?
So there are three judges. There's a center judge and the one on the left and the right side. So.
Okay. So... On, like, the actual lifts, I know there's a lot of, like, specific questions, but are you allowed to, like, walk around on the clean and jerk, like, to get your footing before you jerk? Like, are there, like, stipulations around that?
So you have the whole 1 minute or 2 minute clock, depending, to get set up. I mean, I guess technically you can set up however the heck you want to. I'm sure there are rules on like things you can't do, probably like move the barbell off the platform and like touch the ground with anything but your feet. But your setup can be whatever it is. There are plenty of interesting setups if you watch like a national level meet, any meet actually. People's different rituals and different traditions. So it really is whatever it takes to get set up is appropriate, as long as I do not believe that any part of you can touch the ground but your feet. So that's the only stipulation.
Okay.
It's automatic no rep if that happens.
And then, like, if you're transitioning from the clean to the jerk, like, if you have to take a step forward or, you know, if you have the bar out front a little bit, you can take steps forward and stuff like that.
Okay.
The biggest thing is don't step off the platform and make
13 by 13-foot platform. So it's a pretty, if you step off,
something's wrong.
Yeah, something has went wrong.
Yeah.
And basically just making sure that your arms are locked out
all the way
up top. Because if there's any bend, like, you know, you can get up there, but if you, you know, press out at all, then that's a no lift. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's interesting to see the technical side of it.
Yeah. I was ready for the next question.
Oh,
cool. No, I was just making sure. I didn't want to end prematurely.
Yeah. No, you're good. I was just going to ask you guys, well, do you have a meet in mind for your next one? Or Maggie, have you ever competed?
I've done like one meet. And then whenever I started my job, I just got like too busy at first to really train for anything. So I've just been kind of dabbling for the past like 2.5 years, it seems like. But recently, you know, starting back up and, you know, strictly Olympic style weightlifting. So I'm excited to progress through my program and eventually get back on the platform.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I tried on my friend's singlet the other day and I looked pretty sweet. So
there you go.
Pretty excited to singlet.
Yeah, so you were saying earlier that you started Pittsburgh Fitness Project because you wanted to get more into mentoring.
Correct.
And I know that that leads into other styles of mentoring that aren't necessarily fitness related. And it's through Big Brothers Big Sisters like Carly. Correct?
Yes. Yeah, so tell us all about, because I've been telling Tanner about you and how your involvement in Big Brothers Big Sisters. And how your little was in your wedding, correct?
Yes, he was.
So just you go off and tell us all about.
All right.
All about that.
So I became a big in, I think it's been 5 years now, just recently, 5 years ago. And I was living in Pittsburgh and, you know, a decent job, comfortable. I felt like I wanted to give back a little bit. And I lost my dad when I was a young kid. And I had different mentors throughout, mostly coaches. And the guy who, you know, I started that weightlifting class with in like middle school.
Okay.
Still friends with him, still hang out with him. His son's my best friend, one of my best friends. But like when you're an athlete, I think there's some pressure to perform in order for like people to take interest in you, whether it's perceived or not. I think like, you know, you have make a play, you get an attaboy, you know, good job, you get more attention, you start to feed off that. So I think when I got injured in college, I realized how much like unnecessarily important I made those like attaboys and those coaching relationships.
Okay.
So when I stopped performing because I couldn't because I was injured, I had this like really rough time like dealing with it just because that stuff stopped.
Yeah.
So I thought that, you know, Big Brothers Big Sisters would be a good opportunity to show a kid that you don't need to perform for like people to care about you. And I think that was a really good program. And my dad actually founded Big Brothers Big Sisters in Indiana, Pennsylvania, which I didn't know until afterwards. It's a weird coincidence. But
that's awesome.
That's how I got started. He was like 6. He just turned 7, I think. All of his story is really interesting. He has like a biological sister, 6 cousins who were adopted by his mother after their father passed away. And so I think all 8 siblings were involved in BBBS at some point.
Wow.
So he was the baby. Was the baby because somehow they have another baby now. But
it's fine though.
It's fine. Found the baby. Yeah, it's 9.
He was 6 or 7 when you started mentoring him.
Yeah, so he's I think 12 or 13 now.
Aww, he's huge.
He's like 5'6".
Like
now.
A little man.
I saw a picture from like 2 years ago, and he's like a little baby, and now he has a mustache and as tall as me. It's weird.
I don't know if you can really call that a mustache.
Now he's
like a crud. He's got like the teenager mustache at least.
Yeah. So he was in your wedding, though? He was a
He was
junior groomsman?
The last edition.
That's very cool.
He has a history of, like, he's really funny. He likes attention.
He loves attention.
So we were a little bit concerned about him behaving properly at the wedding, just because he's getting a kid.
Yeah.
And then, but he also likes to prove people wrong, so I told him that Maggie didn't think that he could be good at the wedding, so...
So he was like, really good.
He was super good the whole time. And like, but every second that he was like good, he would come over to me and say, Can I rub it in Maggie's face yet? I'm like, that's not being good. You have to wait till at least tomorrow.
Can I brag that I'm being behaved?
Look
right
how
now?
Good I am right now.
That's amazing.
But yeah, so he was super, I mean, he was awesome. And he, you know, we got all the groomsmen had like the same pants and shirts and ties. So he got to wear, you know, dress like all the guys and like hang out. And he didn't get the flask like the rest of the guys did, but
yeah,
he got a bottle of water when we got the whiskey. But it was
there.
All right.
You go.
Aww, that's
but
so
yeah,
cute.
He walked my mom down the aisle as well, which was cool.
That's sweet.
He escorted her down, so that was a pretty cool moment.
I think I've seen videos of you working out with him here.
Yeah, he cyclically comes in and works out. He's really interested in working out.
That's pretty cool.
And I think one of the things with training kids, with working with children, or young adults now, young adults. But as adults, typically like we train people to increase like their endurance or their ability to perform work like physically. With a kid, it's more about having them to be able to perform the work mentally and stay focused. So, you know, if somebody comes into me and wants to train, I may want to get them to work out for half an hour at a time at first, and then maybe get them up to 45 minutes or an hour. But with a kid, it's more like, hey, can we focus for 5 minutes? Maybe next time we'll focus for 7 minutes, and then we can play the rest of the time. Because, again, at seven, it's not super appropriate to do Olympic weightlifting for an hour straight. But if they can stay focused for 5 minutes, they can learn. Yeah, those 5 minutes is up. 5 minute periods up over years, they can really like get some enjoyment out of it. But if you force them to sit there and focus when they're not prepared to do that, they're gonna quit. They're never gonna come back. So that's the big thing: is when he wants to come in, we let him come in until he can't focus anymore and can't take it seriously, and then we go do all the fun stuff.
You know?
And so it's always on the onus is on him when he wants to do it, and he can behave and like be focused up and zone in. Well, he does a great job. He can snatch and clean and jerk. He's learned all that stuff. He loves the deadlift. He's a big, strong kid. I think at some point he'll be really, really good at it when he like decides that's what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. If he decides that's what he wants to do. But for now, whenever we just let him play, whenever he wants to come in, as long as he knows he touches a barbell, it's serious time. And when he's away from the barbells, like we can play catch and we can run and play basketball, whatever. But we have some pretty good ground rules and some boundaries set up for him. So he does well.
I need to train like a kid, I think. Stay focused for 5 minutes.
So how often do you get to hang out with them? You do community-based?
I do community-based. So by the letter of the big BBS handbook, it's every 2 weeks. but it depends. You know, sometimes it's, you know, once a week for a month. You know, sometimes we see them, you know, a lot, and then sometimes it's like once a month. It just really depends
it
on...
Depends.
Yeah, owning a business is tough. His parents kind of know that. And like with my travel schedule with competing and training, it can be hard to get with him, but we do a pretty good job. And at this point, he's told them, like, Maggie is not allowed to have a little sister because Maggie's his big sister. So.
His big sister, too.
So it's nice because Maggie...
if I get a little sister, that she won't like the same things that he does.
Yeah, all good to hang out. So it's nice because Maggie can help out with that stuff, too. Sometimes we'll do stuff together, and you know, Maggie will come, too, and... He enjoys that. They pick on each other a lot, which is funny. for the time being, Maggie can still beat him in all these sports, so she really enjoys. For like another week or so, till he's like 5'12" and dunking on us.
Stop coming
stuff.
To the gym now. He doesn't end up stronger than me.
Don't think he started doing stuff better than us.
So you actually won Big of the Year in 2017, correct?
Yeah.
Which is for the entire state of Pennsylvania. So we're here with a local celebrity.
Dun, dun, dun.
No, that's very cool that you won that. I remember, actually, I think I cried during your acceptance speech at the recognition dinner last year. It was very sad.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's just really cool that you're not only do you have this Pittsburgh Fitness Project, but you also give back to the community, which we're trying to get more involved in ourselves. So congrats.
Thank you.
We kind of diverted from the next meet thing. But do you have one coming up? Are you coaching athletes for one?
So we have two big events coming up. I'm doing the 2018 USAW National Championships. It'll be my first national meet as part of the East Coast Gold National Team, so I'm pretty excited.
You said USAW?
Yep. So this
National
is,
Championships?
Yep. It's the biggest competition in the United States for the year.
Wow, where's that at?
It's in Kansas City, I think.
Yeah.
Overland Park, Kansas City.
When is that?
It is May. It is Memorial Day weekend, May 24th through the 27th, or something like that.
Dang, coming up quick. Are you ready?
Yeah, we're really excited. We started. Maggie and I both started working with a new coach, Phil Sabatini. He's the president of East Coast Gold. He's based out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. He's actually from Oakmont.
Yeah. Nice,
which
original
is pretty cool.
Yinzer.
So he's
that's awesome.
It's funny talking to him because it's like he's so Pittsburgh. But, you know, he's an older guy. Not older. He's like 30, 35 or 36. But
your age.
Yeah, he's my age. But one of the things that, like, one of the reasons we went out to talk to him is because he's like a professor. He runs a gym. He's a dad. He's doing a lot of life while still being a really, he's actually, will be fighting for a national championship title as well in that meet. So he was the guy I was like, this guy is like what I want to be in 5 years. Like, why not go hire this, like go pursue this dude who's like literally doing all the things that I want to do.
And somehow figured it out.
Yeah. And like balances it all out. And his assistant coach is like, you know what? Like, you just want to find one thing wrong with a guy, but you can't. It's the worst. So we're, we became part of East Coast Gold, which is a you know, 15-time national championship weightlifting team. And so we're really excited that we're going to go out. Maggie is a coach and myself as an athlete in 2018 to represent them as part of their team. And our gym actually has become part of the umbrella of the East Coast Gold as well. So then we have that as an athlete. That's my next big venture. And then in late June, the American Open 2, we mentioned the Arnold earlier. This is the second part of that series. It's in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. And we have about 12 athletes right now, I think, qualified for it. Which is huge. We didn't even have 12 athletes last year, so
that's very cool.
And then hopefully, you know, we have a couple other stragglers, folks that haven't competed in a while, like Maggie, our coach Dave, our longest running athlete Derek. Those three will, if they get a meet in before, they'll probably end up in that group of people as well. So if we can bring 10 to 15 athletes out there, especially if Maggie competes, I will not be doing that meet as an athlete. Maggie spent enough time supporting me that it's time for me to go be the coach and cheer her on, give her a high five and a hug when she's done. So
there you go.
So I'm excited to switch that script a little bit and be on the coaching end of that and those big meets. And
well, good luck in Kansas City. That's awesome.
Thank you.
And
yeah.
Good luck to you, Maggie, if you end up going to the Valley Forge one.
Do it.
Hopefully, you need a social media person to like live stream it so we can all watch from home.
Our coach Dom is the one who runs our social media. He's out there,
okay, cool.
And he's actually coming with us. He's flying into Kansas City to do the nationals.
All right,
they
cool.
have like a live stream of the lifts, but the not lifts. Necessarily anything in like the back or but any you know all the weirdness that happens back
we'll
there.
We'll check out
a GoPro camera like strapped to your chest.
Yeah. The USAW website has the live stream.
All right, cool. We'll check that out.
And then sure. I'll lift on Sunday. I'm sure it's the last day.
Sunday. So, for weight classes for that, do you have to cut weight or are you good to go?
So right now I'm good to go.
That's good.
So
super heavy lift.
One of the benefits of being a super heavyweight. So I started out as a 94 kilo weightlifter, so that's about 204. It was really hard for me to get into. And, you know, I've been over 200 pounds since I was like 15 years old. So
holla.
So unfortunately, I put on muscle really easily. Oh, no.
I roll from his life.
Yeah, rude.
But very difficult for me to get down to that class. So then I became 105 for a while. But again, the nature of the squatting and the training.
Sorry. sorry. I couldn't stop laughing.
My wife loves me so much. Uh-huh. But the nature of the training, I just continue to, and the bodybuilding background does not help with weight class sports. Because I have a really big base of I was a pretty big weightlifter. I was a heavyweight. I weighed 212 my last weightlifting show on stage.
Bodybuilding show.
And single digit body fat. So like even the 230 weight class is like pretty low for me. Even on 5'10 and a half, 5'11 if you ask me most days. I walk around about 255, 260. So getting down to that 230 weight class is pretty tough. So this year we've decided to stay up at the 105 plus and one of the great things about Kansas City is I hear their barbecue is great, so I'm very excited that I will not be eating chicken and broccoli for 4 days before my meet. And Maggie and I can actually explore the city a little bit, which would be fun.
Yeah. Last year at Nationals in Chicago, he had to cut weight, so we didn't get any deep dish Chicago pizza while we were there. We couldn't eat anything.
We landed and I weighed 108. So like I had to lose 3 kilos in 3 days, 6.5 pounds. It was... That was the hardest part of the weekend.
What do you do? Just drink water at that point? Eat celery?
A lot of it's water weight at that point. So,
oh, true. Don't drink water.
Yeah. So I was water loading and then I water cut to get down. And then also just like sleeping in sweatsuits and, you know, getting the treadmill in the morning or the elliptical and just like walking and trying to sweat. But I got about, I think I lost about 2, you know, kilo a day throughout. But it was, that was the most nerve wracking part of the weekend.
Yeah.
The last night I slept again, like 3 layers on, sweatsuit, like bundled up like I was in a blizzard and just sweated and spit in a cup. Sweet tarts. That's the grossest thing ever. Actually heard it on a podcast, but a really, really good way to lose about a pound if you need to lose a pound really fast for a weight cut. Get a roll of sweet tarts, put them in your lip like you're chewing tobacco, mm-hmm. and it's so sour that you salivate like crazy, and you just spit out all the spit into a cup. Thinking of meat, I spit.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. But you can lose.
Yeah, I've heard of powerlifters doing that too.
Yeah,
wow.
With lose, Jolly Ranchers.
You can lose.
Like warheads.
Yeah. Yeah, anything really sour, you can lose you know, a pound or two over a couple hours, depending on how hydrated you are. Like I did a meet when I was still 94 driving to Columbus. I filled up 2 24-ounce coffee cups.
So, wow.
That's about 2.5 pounds.
Wow. Oh my God.
On like
God.
A 4-hour drive or 3-hour drive. So
that's crazy.
You know, don't take a sip out of them. That's really what you don't want to do. Don't forget you didn't have any coffee left.
So do you weigh in before the day of the meet or day before?
It is 2 hours prior.
Okay. And is it drug tested?
It is drug tested. So okay. We are governed by USADA, which is one of the strictest drug testing organizations in the world.
USADA.
Which is one of the reasons why we don't kick the people's butts overseas very well, very much. There's a couple things that get in that the way. Athlete identification and the strict drug testing is probably the two things that get in the way of the U.S. being more competitive, which they're trying to clean up now. The Olympic Committee with IWF are taking a lot more steps to making weightlifting a lot more of a clean sport. They're changing all the weight classes this year, erasing all the world records, and then limiting those countries that have violated the drug policy the most, taking away some Olympic spots. So hopefully it does clean up the sport and lets the U.S. be a little bit more competitive internationally, because we, in my opinion, have the best athletes in the world, and we should be a lot more competitive.
America.
But, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense that we have the fastest sprinters in the world, but somehow, you know, there are people lifting heavier weights in a speed power sport.
Aren't there also, like, aren't at the top also? Is that
correct?
Yeah,
like every other like high athletic like, endeavor that the U.S. is in, we kick everyone's butts, and then all of a sudden, there's this one sport that is a speed power sport that somehow we can't compete in internationally, and doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So,
interesting.
So we follow the rules in the United States.
So that's a big difference between Olympic weightlifting and powerlifting, because powerlifting, I think for the most part, it's not drug tested.
Right. There are some organizations. Powerlifting, we actually have a kid that stops in every now and then, Dave Creech, who's like a U.S. national champion as a high schooler. And he's in the tested thing, and it is expensive. Like, they have to pay. Like, we don't pay for USADA. USADA just comes and visits us if they want to. But, like, the USPL, I think.
Yes, yeah, so the USAPL is tested.
Tested. And he's in that. And, like, he has to pay for his USADA fees. Like, if they test him, they charge him for it.
Oh, really?
Which is really weird.
I mean, it definitely levels the playing field. They do have USPA tested, but the one I just did was just USPA.
Right. I mean, the testing is hit or miss. I did test the bodybuilding as well, and I think one of the reasons why I stopped bodybuilding is the Mr. Universe, the guy who won, literally asked me when I got off my drug cycle before the thing, and I thought he meant bicycle. He said, "So when you stop, get off your cycle." I said, "I drove a plane here. I don't know what you're talking about." And
wow.
He's like, "No, your drug cycle." And I was like, I thought this was a tested event. Like, I don't do that. I just take protein shakes." And
well, that's a compliment to you that you got second place for that, and you didn't use drugs.
My bicycle, it's pretty far to ride a bike here.
Why male models?
but yeah. So like, even a lot of the tested stuff isn't super on the level, anyways. But they're trying, and there are always people.
It's a start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in your meet that you're talking about, do you, because you're a physician's assistant, your schedule, I'm sure, is all over the map, and probably long hours and all that stuff. Do you work out here? Do you work out at home? Is it workouts just kind of whenever you can? Or are you, is there a schedule whenever you can kind of thing?
Kind of. So I get my schedule like a month in advance. So I can kind of plan or get a kind of an idea of mm-hmm. when I'm going to be able to work out. So I try to come here as often as I can. Usually it's after work. It takes a lot of caffeine, but,
oh, yeah. I bet.
But the energy here as well. It just really you know, helps out as well. Like we have, you know, a big group of people who are super fun to work out with. So that helps a lot. If I, you know, ever start later in the day or something, yeah, I'll work out at home. Yeah, just trying to get it in when I can. Really, yeah. So
I do Spartan training during the summers with it used to be through my work gym, and unfortunately they closed the work gym and let everyone go.
Yeah.
So my leader, he got a job at a hotel and is still going to do it this summer. So whether that's, I don't know if it's going to be through the hotel or just, hey, a group of friends that want to work out and do it
here.
I'm so excited to do it again because I'm so bad at keeping myself accountable with other people. It's like, yes, as my group of friends are going. I don't want to look weak, you know, like, so I like want to have fun with them and do it.
Yeah.
We had a Spartan group here trained for it last year. So if you guys are interested after the thing, after the podcast, Jill, who's out there, was the leader of that. So if you want to combine forces.
You had me at Spartan, so we'll talk. Yeah. Yeah.
So real quick, as far as your diet and meal plans, do you count calories? Do you do macros? Do you use a nutritionist? Do you do your own plans?
We used to kind of do our own thing.
Things.
Yeah, we tried like everything.
All the things.
Whenever we first started, you know, counting macros and stuff like that, it was so many more calories than I had anticipated. I literally thought Tom was trying to make me fat because I was like, I'm not going to eat that much food. Like, that's stupid. Like, I'm just going to get fat. And leaned out like crazy. So I was like, all right. So there's something to this macro thing. I just have to, like,
get it from someone else.
Get it from someone else.
Not from me.
I won't listen to my husband. But,
I have a degree in nutrition, by the way.
But anyway, no. But recently we started working with RP Strength and just doing their diet template. It's sad for me because Tom literally eats like three times the amount of food that
three times the
I
size
get to
of you.
Eat. Not really. We used to eat the same.
Yeah, and somehow I got fatter. You got skinnier.
Bulking season.
but yeah, we're working through that, and it's been good.
It's been awesome. Yeah. It's like another one more thing to check off our box of like responsibilities because I think it's really difficult. You know, we're both coaches here. And then we're in charge of so many other people's well-being and like their fitness and their diets and their wellness that you get exhausted. And I think your personal well-being sometimes falls to the wayside. So having, you know, a coach for a weightlifting programming that we can trust and like believe in and never not have any questions about whether they're out for our best interest. And then also like a trusted like diet template that's like worked for thousands of people. It like alleviates so much pressure from our like personal wellness journeys. And it allows us to kind of just exist and just follow what we're like, follow our orders. And it's like so relaxing.
Just follow the checklist kind of.
Right. Yeah. I think I remember last year when we did everything on our own, I just remember like getting to lifts and thinking like at nationals and thinking, well, this lift represents me. It represents my gym. It represents like me as a coach. And that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. So if you allow, if you trust people around you to, you know, help elevate yourself and help elevate the, like, and you work actually as a team and like give trust to those people that like are out for your best interest, then it like makes things so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, and I imagine you're probably familiar with that too as a physician assistant, is you're so focused on a lot of other people at the time that you almost take a back seat. You know?
Like, there are always, you know, jokes about, oh, my doctor says I need to get enough sleep and, you know, watch what I eat and watch my caffeine. And then we're over there like, eating, shoving burgers in our face when we have a minute and not sleeping and drinking just caffeine.
Whatever's nearby. Yeah.
So it's definitely tough to, that's been one of like the biggest probably challenges with, you know, trying to balance, you know, work and training is, you know, I don't have a lot of time during the day to, you know, eat my four meals and, you know, drink all the water and stuff that I need to. And so, you know, I get a lot of shit from my coworkers from that because it's like, no, I'm going to take a step. Like, I'm going to go eat for a second.
There's
like,
nothing
you
wrong
know.
With self-care, right?
Yeah.
That's
so,
something to learn. Yeah. It's hard to like say, I'm going to put myself first for this because I can be better for you. I'll be a better teammate, a better coworker, a better friend if I'm like taking care of my personal needs first. And then I can, you can't fill someone else's cup if your cup's empty.
Exactly.
I think that's always an interesting, it's like observing Maggie, and like I have a pretty conducive environment to train for what I want to do. So think observing like Maggie and like the whole comparison game of like, well, I want to do this perfectly, or I want to do this, and it's very easy to get caught up in like, if I can't be perfect, I don't want to do it. Versus like, I just want to do, and it's not unique in that attitude at all. So I think it's very common. We all get into that sometimes. Like, I want to do this thing and I want to do it perfectly, and then you get so discouraged when you can't do it exactly the way that you want to. When you realize you just have to take a step forward anyways, and like just try and do the best thing, because you know we don't achieve anything in like a day. Like there's no like I remember like playing football. Whenever you play bad, I'd remind myself like you don't win the game in one play. Like there's nothing you can do this one play that's gonna win the game. You just have to do what you're supposed to do at this moment in the best way that you can. And if you keep doing that, it's going to pile up and you're going to end up with the result that you want. It might not be the exact result that you want, but you're going to end up in a place that you're happy with and you're satisfied with as long as you do the next right thing. So, but I think it is like, again, you have like a busy job or things aren't going the way you want them to get like just give up and not want to do anything because you can't be perfect. And like that whole idea of like embracing that you're a work in progress and that it's okay to not hit your macros exactly and or like get every single part of your workout done. But if you keep showing up, you're going to end up in a much better place than you were the day, the week, the month, or the year before.
Yeah. Even just like this winter, I wasn't working out as much because Spartan ends in October. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, just... So now finally it's like, oh God, I'm going on vacation in May. Like I need to get myself together. So I quit weighing myself because I just think that it gets in your head.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I lost a pound. Yay. Oh, I gained a pound. That's really bad.
Yeah.
So it's like my rule, I'm not weighing myself till after vacation. If I even want to weigh myself at that point. But I started a meal plan that I found on bodybuilding.com. It's like the 7-day HD abs thing. So it's like, but my rule to myself is just follow it as many meals as I can.
Yeah.
If I don't like a meal, just pick a meal from another day. Like I'm trying not to be so intent. Like I have to follow this to the T because I just know that's going to discourage me the second I don't.
Exactly. And then you miss one and then you're like, I'll just miss two.
Let's have a cheesecake for dinner.
Yeah.
We'll restart Monday.
Like
it's Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday.
I've already like I didn't eat my breakfast this morning, but I know I have like a prepared lunch from the other day in my fridge. So I was like, I could eat that when I get home, you know, microwave it. Like, but that's, I'm just trying to be better to myself mentally. Cause that's, you know, that takes a toll.
We're always our own worst critics. I mean, it doesn't matter how high level, we have interesting conversations with a lot of people that we always think that we're not enough. We're a fraud. We're not. Somehow we're faking it. And
imposter syndrome.
Yeah. I think everyone feels that way at some point. Mm-hmm. Just being kind to yourself, I think, is like the first step into like actually like achieving the stuff that you want to achieve.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Any more thoughts, Carly?
I don't think so. I can't thank you guys enough for coming on and sharing your knowledge on everything. We really appreciate it. And we really like your gym. And obviously we like you guys. And I always talk to Ryan Selle up at Selle's Fitness. If he has lifters that he thinks would make more sense as Olympic lifters, he's like, I'm going to send them to Tom because he thinks you're a stand-up guy.
I love Ryan. He's so funny. He had an argument. I have a really funny Ryan Selle story. So that's how we became internet friends.
Yes, go.
So like Ryan and I would always like kind of comment on each other's videos and like I just kind of mess with each other a little bit. And I was with a coach who was a squat every day proponent. That's like a weightlifting program where you actually squat to a max every day. It's not very effective. But you get strong, but you just get beat up. But he had made like a smart alecky comment on my wall, on my picture that I posted. Like I posted like hashtag squat every day. And he was like, yeah, that'll be really great or something. And, all my teammates started like just talking relentless shit to Ryan. And like had no idea who he was, like his background at all. Just like, but they were so like indoctrinating the squat every day thing, and not knowing Ryan's like a world champion. He's like his coach.
Who is
like,
this guy?
Yeah, like, and that's why I like kind of mediated on the thing, and like, guys, Google Ryan Selle before you start talking. Like, you're 17 years old. Like, stop. Like, trust me, you're gonna lose this argument every time. Like, your coach and Ryan like competed against each other. He probably beat your coach, you know, at some point, and they probably went back and forth. Like, Ryan's a very, very good, accomplished coach and athlete. But it was after that point, like, we started, like, probably messing each other. And he's like, did I cross the line? He's, like, really concerned. And I was like, I think it was hilarious. Right. I think that was funny. These, like, 20-year-old kids were just picking fights with him, like, having no clue. The internet is funny for that.
Yeah, but, like, he's always commenting on Instagram and how much he hates it.
Yeah. But it was just super funny. And that's kind of, we became, like, internet buddies long before we actually met. Because he's just like a smart ass, and it was funny, and like I kind of like the way he picks at people, and in a positive way. It's usually in a very friendly, positive way, but
yeah, he's the man. I got a message last night, so I posted on my story, like, my chucks. It was my squat day yesterday. I posted, like, squat day on my story, and this girl messaged me. She found my Instagram through the podcast. She works out at some warehouse in Bloomfield. I don't know what it's
okay. Like, it says warehouse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, is it true that Ryan Selly's, like, really against lift, like, heeled lifter shoes? And I'm like, what? I was like,
that's a pretty
what good. A strange... She even, like, prefaced it with, like, so this is a really strange question. I'm like...
Have a question about that. Why do powerlifter squat and chucks?
Because it looks so cool.
It does look sweet.
When I joined, I had Nike Metcons, and right. My first couple sessions with him, he's like, dude, get rid of those shoes. Burn them. I'm like, he's like, go get a pair of chucks. They're like $40. Like, just, I want you to use flat shoes. And he's like, chucks or Vans? Take your pick.
Ooh, Vans.
So everyone there lifts and chucks so like, or Vans. I don't know the scientific.
Like, I would
reason.
Love to know why. Like we were wondering that before. Is like why, Ryan? If you're listening, send me a message. Send me a private message. Why no heeled lifters, Ryan? I need to know.
So I sent him the screenshot of that message, and he's like, "I assess everyone differently." I was like, "Okay," but none of his lifters.
Apparently, none of you his have lifters a very flat them. Arch or something,
right?
Yeah, he's just funny. He's set in his ways.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, he's been powerlifting since the 80s. So yeah.
At the end of the day, a $40 pair of chucks versus a 200 pair of lifters that you're only going to use for one lift. Like you're not going to deadlift with a pair of lifters. So why have like three pairs of shoes to work out? It was probably the answer is that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've never worn the heeled lifters, but do you feel like your weight's like in the center of your feet?
It's working on getting more upright as well. So whenever you have an elevated heel, you're a little bit more upright. And that's why like Olympic style weightlifters, we do like the high bar squat because that puts our torso in a good position to catch a barbell.
Right.
So unless that's the reason because you guys are doing.
So we want more of
it. So I don't So maybe that has something to do with it because he's always yelling at me like, sit back on your heels,
so we're more
everything
full,
back on your heels.
We're full foot, like knees forward over our toes, like very like, if you hear bro science, like the cues that we tell you are going to be like, these people are crazy, right? Like we're like full foot, you know, knees over toes, like way over, because we want to have an upright torso in our squat and want our hips straight down. So we're actually going to use our ankle flexion to push our knees forward and get in a more upright position with their torso. So it's very different stylistically than a power
squat. Yeah, so that might be what it is.
It could very well be.
I'll ask him next time.
Yeah.
I see him. I'll report back.
Let us know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you guys want to check out Tom and Maggie on Instagram, it's at Tom Dewar. And Maggie's at Skinny Marge 814.
I did not develop that name.
Yeah.
But I definitely did not get rid of it because I think it's funny.
Well, what is this now? Operation Large Marge? Operation
that's
Large.
My hashtag.
I love that.
I'm still
Skinny
like Marge. I love
operation.
It. I'm really trying.
Yeah, she's very... She's not large, but...
Perma-bulking for the last...
Yeah.
It's the better.
And then also, if you guys want to check out their gym, it's at Pit Fit Project.
And then at... PFP Barbell as well.
Oh,
as our
sorry.
Barbell
and at PFP Barbell. I forgot one.
We have
like 18
Instagram
websites, 18 sites. Instagrams.
Perfect. Yeah. We'll link to them all.
Yeah, we'll hook you guys up in the show notes. But yeah, we can't thank you again. We really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thanks for having us.
We guarantee at least 3 to 5 profile views.
Nice.
That is.
Or you'll get your money back.
I say 3 because it's going to be me, Carly, and Sam.
And our podcast will be the 4.
Yeah.
Right, there we go. That's what we like all our own pictures go through. And so famous.
Well, so I read online that Instagram, the more you comment on things, like it pushes up in the algorithm. So we started commenting on stuff with our podcast, and then we will reply to our own. It's a little shady.
Derek, wait, give it out these stories.
Well, I'm just saying, our followers can help if they want.
Yeah,
you know?
Comment awesome and like.
Comment. Yeah.
But no, we really appreciate it, guys.
Thank you guys so much. It was awesome meeting you and hearing your story today.
Absolutely.
It was really cool.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.